N4DJC.
JC, KO4NUE.
Good morning, Chad. How you doing?
What's going on, bud? How are you? I am on the way to the deer camp with the sawmill behind me.
You work to me. I'm
NUE. You still in there, sir?
Yeah, Chad. I think I got everything set up here. You got me now?
Yeah, I got you now. I don't know what's going on. A lot of noise, but you're nice and good now.
I had my power turned down. I'm not sure. But I was just asking what kind of sawmill you got.
Actually, I got a wood miser stationary that's been set up there at the farm for, 15-20 years, I'd say. And then the other one, I got a portable that goes behind the truck, and it's a wood miser too. 25-inch throat on it. The stationary's got a 30-inch throat on it, but it does a good job. It's all automated. Or you just, flip a lever and it goes down and then comes back.
Is it a chain or a blade?
106 inches long. And, I'll get them resharpened. They cost about $5 to, $7 to resharpen one. And I'll send 10 or 12 of them off at a time, and they'll sharpen them up and send them back.
Pretty reasonable. I knew one of the guys, a friend of mine out in Missouri, he's a custom knife maker. He makes some of his, of course, he forges a lot of his knives, but some of them he makes out of old saw blades. And, the big ones that are fighting, these are huge. He cuts them out and, Then reforges them a little bit and hardens them. He makes a pretty good knife too, actually, but the saw blade ones, I think they're somewhere around, he hardens about Rockwell 62, but he uses, I think they're equivalent to 1084 or something like that, carbon. But they take a good edge is all I know, and they're easy to sharpen and not hard to sharpen like some of the tougher steels like D2 and CPM-154, which, I like D2 a lot, but I have to use diamond stones when it's sharpened up. But I've seen some good work was done with those sawmills, but I was just curious. I've seen some where they run a chainsaw, but those blade ones are a lot better. They make a nice clean cut, don't they?
Job, and this thing here is it's pretty heavy, but I've figured out that I can move the head along the trailer, along the chassis, and put all the weight on the back of the trailer, on the back of the chassis, and that way I can get, I can make the front end real light and manipulate it, where I want. And then I move the head forward, and that lets me get the jack stands on the back right. But I can have the thing set up and running, and I've already got a good flat spot, I'd say probably 10 minutes. And now getting the log on there, though, that's a different story. but the mill itself, it don't take long. You pull right up and, and go at it just as fast as you want to go.
We've had a vacant lot next door to us now, so we've been here about 26 years, and we got a lot, one of the two or three left in the neighborhood. Nobody ever decided to clear it off, but now we got a builder that bought it and is working on clearing it off. We got a lot of big trees on it, but most of them are sweet gums, poplars, and stuff like that, nothing. I got one hickory nut tree here close to the line here that just makes a mess, and one sweet gum is barely across the... It's across on their property, but it's real close to the right-of-way, but The county won't touch it. Of course, this week, they'd make a big mess anyway. Love to have him take those down, too, but I don't know whether he will or not. He got the excavator out. He pulled the excavator on yesterday. And they changed hands about four or five times, I guess, over the years. And this one's definitely going to build on it because he's already started cutting some trees down. And I got the excavator out there yesterday and digging around. So I'm hoping they're going to build a house on it.
Yeah, it's sweet gums are, and they're kind of difficult to deal with on the meal too, but especially if they're dry. If they're green, anything green, it's not too big of a deal, but when she gets hot, dry and hard, oh boy, I have to change angle up. I've changed the tooth angle on the blades. I keep some 15 degrees, that's what I normally cut with, but if it's dry, I gotta move down to about 12 degrees, because it just, boy, it'll eat them up in a minute.
Excuse me, this property didn't have any decent trees on it at all. Most of them are dead, and had ivy, poison ivy growing up the sides of them, and, that's usually a pretty clear sign that something bad's going on with it, and one of them down here is hollow there, and I know for sure they're going to take it down. And they got those big water oaks out here, too. I got one. We had a bunch of trees in the yard when we built here, but I begged them to go ahead and take them down when they were clear, before they finished the house up, and they wouldn't do it, but they were sweet gums and hickory nuts and stuff like that, and they just made a big mess. I wound up having to take them all down and took my last sweet gum down on my property. Last year, I think, and a guy that was cleared off a lot over here for the other guy that owned it, I asked him if he could take it down. He said, I'd take it down. He didn't even have to, it was about 60 feet tall, but he didn't have to top it out. He knew what he did. He cut that thing down, they sawed it up, and it was done in about 30 minutes or so. They cut it up, moved it off the property, And I happened to run into a guy who was doing some stump grinding work over here, and he ground my stump for me for like $75 or $80, something like that. It might have been $100. It was cheap, though. But that was a big tree. I was glad to get that thing off the lot, because it was making a big mess with all those sweet gum balls on it. N4DJC for ID.
KO4NUE, yeah. So I've seen Dad over the years, we had a big old oak tree one time near, wasn't too far from the house, and he cut a window in the back of that thing and put a 12-ton bottle jack in it, and then went on the front side of the tree and cut the hinge plate out on the front of the tree, and he had me on the back side of the tree running that bottle jack. it pushed that thing right over. I mean, it's just as sweet as could be, So, we've been dealing with wood for, I don't know, ever since I had a little bitty thing. And then I got a machine shop there at the house. And two shops. One's a welding shop. The other one's a machine shop. And do a lot of metal work and things like that too, but I enjoy getting out on the mill. It's a pretty day and beautiful outside, and there's just nothing like, smelling fresh cut pine right off the mill.
I lived down in southwest Georgia for a number of years, and mostly pines down there, and they did a lot of clearing off and that sort of thing. We had one of my cousins worked for a company down, they rented out. They ran their own equipment most of the time, but they had those timber jacks and stuff like that. It just, this had been close to 50 years ago, I guess. But the timber jacks just started being used back then. Yeah, those things, they'd make a stand of pines. They'd cut that thing off, lop it down, and go down there with a D8 or a D10, just knock up the stumps, and they clear it off in a hurry. Those pines are a lot easier to take down than these oaks. Some of these oaks get so big, and digging limbs on them are so heavy. Even limbing them off and trying to top them out is a major deal. One of the guys here across the street from me had a couple of them taking in, a couple of big ones. They must have been probably close to 90 feet tall. I think they charged him close to 5,000 dollars to take them down and clear it off.
You know, bad thing about that is, you know, the tree trimmers come in and if they get their trucks set up to where they could deal with, you know, a 10 or 12 foot log, I mean, boy, they could double their money, you know, especially with red oak and white oaks. Cut it down in 10, 12 foot section and take it off and, you know, sell that to the sawmill. I mean, some of them old things bring pretty good money, you know. But I don't know, tree trimmers, sometimes they don't think that way, I guess. Some of them do, but most of them just, you know, lop it up in little old bitty pieces and throw it on the trailer. But I don't guess they've ever been around a sawmill, I guess.
Well, I think some of these guys just don't have, you know, a lot of the independents don't have the money to have the right kind of equipment. They don't have, you know, they got a, yeah, they got the trucks, ain't big enough, and that sort of thing, and they just want to get it in and get it out of there. We had, over at my mother's place, we had about six pecan trees in the side yard and backyard, and one in the backyard was a big, it was a big one, it must have been, it was close to 80 years old. You know, pecan trees, it's like one guy told me, he said, they're self-pruning. You know, when those limbs get so heavy, they're going to come down one way or the other. But we had to take part of one down, had to limb one on just a couple of spots down there. And told the guy that was working, wife was helping take care of my mother. She was in her 90s then. And I told him, I said, why don't you bring your truck down and take his limb up? And I said, drive this thing. I said, this thing will make some good smoking wood. I said, after it dries out. And I said, don't burn it while it's green. But you know, those big limbs on those pecan trees, these were, you know, bigger than my leg. That made, you know, I said, bring your chainsaw, bring your splitter down here. I said, just split it on site, load it up in the truck. And he came down and he got about three or four truckloads of that stuff. And I said, you leave it. I said, set it up for about a year and a half dry. And I said, that'll make for some good cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. What I do is drop it in a 5 gallon bucket of water for 20-30 minutes before I smoke with it, and it gets it all, you know, won't let it flame up. It kind of smolders a little bit, for not for long. It'll eventually catch on fire, but I do a little bit of smoking too. I'm not, my stepbrother does the competition barbecue and you know, travels around Memphis, Tennessee, things like that. And he's taught me a few things, but I'm not nearly as good as him. But I enjoy doing that too. But I'll take the sawmill usually. I carry a couple of Dutch ovens in the work trailer, and I'll set me up a Dutch oven that morning with some chicken and rice or beans or whatever, you know. And boy, you get running that sawmill all day and you get smelling them beans about lunchtime. Oh boy. Ain't nothing like that in the world.
Kind of what burns some calories now. You get hungry. And I tell you, that would be a good day to be out there today. It's not nice and clear and dry. And, you know, not too warm today. It's going to be a little warmer than it has been. Not going to be too warm though, to get out there and do some work. But, yeah, we used to, I do a little cooking outside. I used to a lot. I cook outside. Usually during good weather, I'll cook outside once or twice a week, but I don't do anything fancy. I do just a little charcoal, and I don't do any smoking. I don't have the equipment to do it with, and I don't think I got the patience to do it. There's not enough of us in the house to warrant doing that sort of thing. But you know, Bill over at Hall, he's got all kinds of cooking goodies over there. I think he's got one of those big green eggs, and got one of those Holland stainless steel smokers and all kinds of stuff over there he cooks with. And he can throw that stuff in a big green egg and smoke that stuff in a hurry, because I think it gets about 800 degrees. I'm just not patient enough to do that anymore. And like I said, we don't eat enough. It's just two of us, so we don't eat enough to warrant doing that. When the kids come out to the lake, I think we usually pick something. I should put some ground beef and stuff in a crock pot and then make them some tacos later on in the afternoon, stuff like that. They seem to like that, and that's not hard to do and pretty easy to clean up. You can feed six or seven people pretty easy with that. But I love charcoaling, but I just don't like the smoking part of it. I just don't have the equipment to do it. Don't have the patience. And at this point in life, I don't know whether I'm going to spend that kind of money on that.
Our son's getting married next month, and we're having the reception out at the house. So my wife sent me up here to the deer camp. I got some pines that need to come down. I got some weevils in them, so I'm going to take them down, and she's wanting me to make four, salt slab tables for outside, sawbuck tables. So off to the mill I am, I guess. I'll be glad when this wedding's over with. They about to kill me.
Went through that with my daughter about 12, 13 years ago now, and it was a big deal. It was enjoyable. We had most of it done ourselves. They did some ourselves and had a lady who actually, she did our wedding for us back in 72, so she was still around, so she did a great job with it. It didn't cost us anywhere near as much as we thought it was. It's been years, been back in 1960. We had some lake property and also had a more or less a family farm that several people in the family, all we did was just put some cattle on it. We got out there and put 200 pines out there on the property, and we planned on cutting them, years later and digging them with pines. The beetles got in them, and you couldn't, these were just about to where about number two timber grade, but those beetles got in it. You couldn't even get anybody to move on the property to cut them down at that point in time. But if I'd done it about 8 or 10 years earlier, I think we would have got our money out of them.
Yeah, they'll do some damage in a heartbeat. I mean a heartbeat. And you somebody cuts wood for a living, they come in there and see one or two trees that's got them in it. Nah, they won't. They will not touch them. They'll run the other way. But, sawmills got pretty particular about, what you bring in. You got to kind of be careful with that because they kick some of it back. But a couple of mills here local, they have, metal detectors in them and things like that. They'll leave it on truck. Or turn the whole load back. I mean, if there's enough on it, they'll turn it back. So you got to be kind of selective, But, for a saw slab table, I don't care if it's got holes in it or not. They'll get over it.
Yeah, we spaced them out enough, too, to where they could get in there. We're planning on having them cut them, years ago. My dad passed away about 23 years ago, but we planned about there back in the 60s. We planned on cutting before then. The lumber prices, timber prices, they fluctuate like orange juice prices do. And it wasn't a good time to cut them. And by the time we went through all that, we're going to get in and cut them off. We're going to get them off there before we sold them. The uncle owned the property, but he had it in a family trust. And when they passed away, we had to wait. It was too late to do anything about it then. Then we got into the trust part of it. We're going to get the timber off of it, but it was too late by then because the beetles already got in part of it. They haven't really paid attention to it. I said, that's a money crop there. I said, all you got to do is just keep it from burning down and keep them sprayed and that sort of thing. They'll keep some of them off and burn it off. And they didn't burn it off very often. They should have burned it off a little more often than they did. But they done that. It might have prevented some of the problems. But like you said, once they got in there, they took one look at it and said, nope. Wasn't about two trees in it, but they wouldn't want to take a chance on it. I understand, but, yeah, that's somebody else's problem now. Well, somebody jump out of here. I think the youngins are headed here in a little bit, so we better be ready for the onslaught. You better be safe up there and have a good afternoon. Enjoy yourself. Good talking to you. M4DJC, clear after you.
T24NUE. Have a good one, bud. And I plan on enjoying the day. Take my time. And, yeah, so I'm planning on enjoying this weather. KO4NUE, I'll be clear, bud. Be safe, 73.
Form 2 Tango Mobile.
KN4 TFW.
Pretty fair for a Saturday afternoon. Just picked up some stuff at the grocery store, including something for lunch. And now I'm headed back to the house.
Auto parts store, pick up a battery from a truck.
Things like that occasionally.
Lasted 8 years.
Do something better than that. I had one that lasted 10.
I was thinking.
For what, 3 or 4?
That is the original that came in the truck in 14.
But hey, at least you got your money's worth out of it.
Say that. I knew it was starting to go, and it was getting a little bit sluggish, and went out there to crank it to go to the dump, and wouldn't do nothing.
Well, so you could drive it to the parts place, and so they could install the battery for you?
After that, I just snatched it out and carried it over. The only car I had to jump it with was one of them hybrids, and I didn't want to mess with that.
Mine went bad. I got it started up, took it up to the auto place and let them do it, because my battery in this car is almost under the tailgate at the back of the car.
Yeah, this one was right out there on the fender wheel. The one in this hybrid, it's in the darn console.
They put them all different places. Well, this is a 2011 HHR, and the battery in the back of it, like I said, is located. You got a place you can jump off at underneath the hood, but the battery itself is located. You have to lift up the deck in the back and then make sure everything's out of the way. Fortunately, there's no spare tire in this car. They don't have them. And then you have to go back underneath the edge, take another cover off, and then go back underneath there. And it's almost, like I said, it's almost under the tailgate is where it's installed.
Well, that, then I probably would have tried to get it started and carried it over there.
At least it's a good day out here today. Warming up nice and not too breezy, but, you know, I don't know what I'm doing outside work this afternoon because I don't have all the stuff I need to do it, but, hey, you know, maybe later next week.
Like this, I'm ready for it to start getting on towards spring and summer. It's calling it 70 over here in Greer right now.
The thermometer says 65 outside here, and it's, you know, and to me, that's still a little on the cool side for my body. And, of course, that's what being a cancer survivor does to you. Your body doesn't like it to be cooler than about 70 degrees or more every day.
That way, once I started getting older into my 60s, that I got cooler a little bit easier.
You're still a youngster. And I got 2 months to 75.
To make it to 75.
Well, stupid, you got a chance of it anyway. Depending upon what's going on in the world, or somebody else does something stupid around you, that's the option you can't do anything about.
You're right about that. Just the way people drive nowadays, you take your life in your hands every time you get on the road if you're not paying 150% attention.
And it's sometimes worse on these little back roads I'm on now, and everything. But I'm over. over here in the big town of Moore, in the big area of Moore, South Carolina. So, you know, it's all back roads over here.
About the animals than anything over there.
Definitely deer at night, but during the daytime, you know, it's not so bad out here. Most of the animals are all fenced in and everything, but oh, I see the back of another one of these Big Mac mansions they're building over here in this one subdivision near me. These things have got to be called multi-million dollar homes, boy, as big as some of these are, so better them than me. Well, I'm about back to the house here, and let me get both hands on the wheel so I can make the turn to the road and into the yard. Talk to you later. W2T, clear.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, I'm about to pull into the auto parts myself. So you have a good one, and I'll catch you later. KN4 TFW.